Welcome to Souls Harbor Church. We're glad you're here. You can also join us in person at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. We are a place of grace and a Bible-believing Pentecostal church where everyone is welcome to come and experience God. On behalf of Pastor Clark and all of us at Souls Harbor, I invite you to come and worship the Lord with us. I know you'll be blessed. Now let's join the service.
We are going to talk about something that God laid on my heart earlier this week, and it's just been building and building and building, and I like that because that means we're going to get to have some fun in the Lord tonight. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you can't have fun in church, you're in the wrong church. Amen? Because I tell you what, there's enough stuff in life to worry about without not being able to have fun in church. We can find enough trouble outside. We don't need to have any trouble in anything inside. Amen? Because when we come here, we come to be in the presence of Almighty God. Not in the presence of Almighty Jim, in the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I come boldly before your throne of grace with your congregation tonight, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your presence. We thank you for that sweet anointing, Father. We thank you, Lord, that Sister Frida's healing has been done in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to bless this service, bless this time together, Lord. Lord, anoint me that I'd speak the words exactly as you want them spoken, nothing less and nothing more. And anoint your people to hear and their hearts to respond, Father. Deliver to your people what you would have them have in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Well, turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And those of you who know your Bible are probably going, oh, good, he's going to preach on the whole armor of God. You're wrong. We're just starting there. I tell you what. Sometimes life is not easy. Amen. Sometimes we're fighting some battles. Sometimes we've got some stuff we've got to go through. And it seems like the closer you get to God, the harder the devil fights. And I heard a preacher one time say, if the devil's not fighting you, you need to look at your life because you got something wrong. Amen. So let's look real quick at this, and then I'm going to share something funny. But it says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're going to stop right there because that's a key word, his might. Not your might, Pastor. Not mine. Not yours. His. God's might. Because we're not strong enough. We don't have it. But God does. God can deliver whatever we need. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Anybody feel like this might be the evil day? And having done all to stand, stand. Amen. I saw something on Facebook the other day, and it made me chuckle. A lot of things I see on Facebook make me chuckle. Some of them are more appropriate and Christian than others, but you can't keep all of that off of there. But it was a picture of a monkey, and he's standing there, and the caption under it said, if you got to fight, fight like you're the third monkey on the ramp to Noah's Ark, and brother, it's starting to rain. Now I want you to think about that for a minute, because they went two by two. There were only two monkeys getting in, so if you're the third monkey, you're probably fighting pretty hard to get through that door before the other one does. Amen? So when you've got a fight with the devil, when you've got stuff going on in your life that you're having to deal with, you better fight like you're that third monkey and it's starting to rain. You got to get serious about fighting the devil. You've got to get serious about taking it to the enemy's camp. Because I'm tired of him kicking our tails here in Souls Harbor Church. Amen? We've seen enough trouble. We've seen enough problems. It's time for us to take that joy back and it's time for us to take our victory back. Amen? Amen. You know, sometimes you're fighting against a relationship. You're fighting a relationship, trying to make it work. Or maybe you're declared war on your financial situation and it seems like you're losing ground. Or maybe you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Can anybody identify with any of that stuff? Amen? I sure can. And it seems like you have nothing left. There's no strength left. You've fought and you've fought and you've fought and you just kind of sit there and you go, God, I got nothing left. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Now I'm going to ask you to do something. Put all that out of your mind because that's not what we're here to talk about. We're not here to talk about the weakness in the fight. We're here to talk about the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. So I want you to go with me over to Nehemiah chapter 8. We're going to deal with a few verses over there. But I want to set the stage first because it's important as you look at this. So in Nehemiah, they're just a few weeks, maybe a month or two out of coming back from the exile, the children of Israel are. They've just come back from a really, really rough time. They've been exiled. They've been out of their home. They've been away from their temple. They come back and everything's destroyed. And Nehemiah says, hey, let's build a wall. And you know, like any good church, there's going to be the folks who say, yes, we're with you. Let's build the wall. And then there's going to be the folks who go, well, if we want to build a wall, I guess that's okay. And then there'll be the ones who are over there going, he don't really think we're going to build a wall, does he? Is he crazy? I'm not building a wall. But you know what? Eventually, they got together and they started building that wall. Men, women, children, everybody was participating in building that wall. They'd been working hard. They just came back from walking all that way back, getting back from being in exile, being in misery. Now he wants them to build a wall, and now they're tired. They don't have a whole lot of strength left. They're worn out. They're weak. So what's he do? He brings them all together. And they start reading from the Bible, which at that point was the Law of Moses. Real exciting stuff, I know. Everybody gets jazzed up when you want to read the law. But that's what they had at the time. So they start reading. And this went on most of the day. Now I'm going to step on you for a minute, because if the preacher goes about 35 minutes or so, everybody's backside starts getting a little itchy and we're afraid the Baptists are going to beat us to the buffet. They sat there all day long. And if you really read that chapter, it talks about how they listened closely. They stood for the reading of why we stand out of respect to the reading of the word when pastor reads at the beginning of service. It's the same thing they did, only they stood for hours while it was read. And they were tired. They'd been building a wall. They just got back. They're tired. They're worn out. And so what does Nehemiah do? He gets them together. And in verse 10 it says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. Now watch this, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. Now watch this, verse 12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions. They took care of their neighbor. If their neighbor didn't have any good food, they sent some over for him. We could make a whole sermon out of that, but we'll leave that alone for now. And to make great mirth, great joy, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. What I want you to do tonight is, if you don't leave here with anything else, I want to make sure you understand the words that God is declaring to you tonight. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And we're going to dig into that a little bit, because I like to do word studies. I like to figure out what they really meant and what they really said. So I looked first at the word joy. And joy, the Hebrew word for that is kedva, which means gladness or joy, and it's also joy because of a specific thing. It's not happiness. See, everybody thinks when we say the joy of the Lord that we mean happiness, that we mean you're smiling and you're happy and life's wonderful. Happiness is a function of your circumstance. If things are good, you're happy. If things are bad, you're not happy. Joy is a completely different thing. The joy of the Lord is a spiritual thing. It's something that happens inside here when your faith starts to build up and when your faith starts to interact with God. Then all of a sudden, no matter what's going on, Pastor, you've still got that joy. You've still got that inside of you. You know, it's joy because we're saved. It's joy because Jesus died on a cross. It's joy because we know it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It's joy because we know that our Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us from them all. Amen? It's joy because we know that this is going to change. It's joy because Jesus said for the joy that was set before him, he was willing to go to the cross for Jim Black and for Paul and for George and for each and every one of us. Amen? He was willing to do that for us. That's enough to get joy. That's enough of a reason for you to have that joy on the inside of you. No matter what's going on, it doesn't matter what that bank account balance says. It doesn't matter what your body says or what the doctor says. None of that matters, because I'll let you in on a secret that you probably already know. No matter what else happens, you've still got Jesus. If everything else falls apart, if your relationships fall apart, if your body falls apart, if you can't get out of that bed, when it's all over and done, you're still going to heaven. You're still going to meet your King and your Maker. You're still going to dance on those streets of glory, regardless of anything else that happens in this life. And that's where the joy of the Lord comes from. And I also looked at the word strength, which is ma'oz in Hebrew. It means fortitude or safety or being strong, a safe harbor, a stronghold, refuge of God. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. So it means physical strength. It means the strength and the fortitude to keep going, the ability to keep after it. But it also means you have a safe place to go to. The joy of the Lord will give you a safe place to go. When there's nothing else you know to do, get with the Lord and start to build on that joy. And now all of a sudden you have a safe place where this mess in this world can't touch you, where it doesn't matter anymore what this world does or what it thinks it's going to do. Because it's that supernatural joy. It's faith filling the heart with supernatural joy. And like I say, it's not about happiness. Happiness is great. I'm not against happiness by any means. I try to be happy as often as I can. But joy isn't happiness. And I think we mistake that sometimes because people say, well, if you've got the joy of the Lord, you should always have a smile on your face. I hate to tell you this, Jesus didn't always have a smile on his face. But if anybody had the joy of the Lord, Jesus had it. I hate to tell you this, he didn't always have a good day. Somehow I'm thinking when he was in front of Pilate, he wasn't smiling and saying, oh, this is a great day. I just love this day. I wish we could do this every day. Do you think he was, Brother Leonard? I don't. I think he was having a rough day, but you know what? It didn't matter because he had the joy of the Lord. He had his Father in him, just like we have him in us. Amen? So now I want you to take a look with me at Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 4 and verse 13. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, no matter what's going on, you may not rejoice about your circumstance. I can tell you, I got some circumstances going on right now I don't really feel like rejoicing about. They're not exciting. But what's exciting is I know my God's got it, and he's going to take care of it. And I can be excited and happy about that, praise God. Now take a look at verse 13. So we've rejoiced. Now in verse 13 it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So first comes the rejoicing, then comes the strength. When you rejoice, the strength builds up. When you have that joy of the Lord in you, the strength builds up. And all of a sudden, you've got the ability to go a little further. You know, Dennis was talking about Sister Frieda being the Energizer Bunny earlier. And I just kept thinking about that right there, that it's the joy of the Lord that's kept her going. It's the fact that the Lord was on the inside strengthening her and pushing her, giving her supernatural ability to keep going, because most people would have quit by now. Most people would have said, my throat hurts, I don't want to do this no more. But when you got to talk somebody out of it and say, give your throat a rest, that's because God's continuing to work and he's continuing to build her up and strengthen her. And Sister Frieda, I cannot wait to see what God's going to do to heal your body. Amen. He's got you. So first we rejoice, then comes the strength. And in James, one of our favorites, well, at least one of my favorite scriptures, James 1 and 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. In the New Living Translation, verse 2 reads, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Amen. So what he's saying there, it's not that you should be excited about the temptations. Nobody gets excited about troubles or temptations or difficulties. But be excited about where it's going. Be excited about what God's going to do for you. And then he goes on to say that patience is important, because it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen next week. It may not happen next month. It might not even happen next year. God has his own timetable, and his timetable is perfect. Even when our mind can't comprehend it, even when we're saying, Brother Lee, I don't understand why God's taken so long to do this. He knows, and he's got this whole thing mapped out. I just wish I could see his plan for 5 minutes. I just wish I knew what he was up to, because a lot of times I don't. But that's where we trust him. That's where we realize that he's got control of all of this. And that's where we tap into that joy that gives us the strength to keep going. Even when we don't know where we're going, we don't know how we're going to get there yet, it's that joy that builds our strength. It's that joy that builds our fortitude. It's that joy that keeps us focused on the right things. Because Psalm 30 and 5 said, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. What that tells me is it's going to get rough sometimes. We're going to have those times when you might cry, you might weep. It's tough. Life's tough anyway, but add to it being a Christian and having the devil come after you. There are some tough moments in life. Anybody who preaches to you and tells you you're never going to have a rough time as a Christian is lying through their teeth. Amen. I tell you what, because I could have a real easy life if I'd just give up and do what the devil wants. If I'd quit standing up here in this pulpit, I think he'd leave me alone a lot. But that's all right, though. I like giving him a black eye, because every time I stand up here and God says to you, makes a difference in your life, the devil gets kicked in the teeth. And I like that. I like that. Praise God. So, you know, one of the things that Everybody tells you, have the joy of the Lord, have the joy of the Lord. And then they usually close and ask for an offering. And they hope that you're real joyous and hand out the money. A pastor tells me I can't take offerings, so we're not going to do that. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you how to have the joy. Anybody want to know that? Anybody interested in that piece of this? Because I think we leave that part out. We just tell everybody, have the joy, have a nice day. We'll see you on Wednesday. But we're going to talk about how. I want you to go with me, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me, because I want you to see this in red. It's in John chapter 15. We're going to look at two verses over there. I'll give you just a second to get there. Look at verse 10 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 11 says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You want to know how to have the joy of the Lord? I'll tell you how you have it. You keep his commandments. You love him. You have a relationship with him. You spend time with him. When you spend time in this word, not just the quick 10 minutes so you can say, yep, I read my Bible today. But when you get serious with him, I tell you what, I had a breakthrough last night when I was working on my notes. I started listening to some praise music. And I realized it was an hour and a half later. And I had spent that time just with the Lord, praising. I was praying in tongues. I was even dancing around in my basement. Thankfully, there's no cameras there and no proof, because it probably ain't pretty. But I was having that moment with God. And when I was done, I had so much strength on the inside of me and so much joy on the inside of me. It was still bubbling over this morning. I couldn't possibly have been more happy when I got up this morning, and I am not a morning person. But you know what? God had started to move. He had started to change things in me. He had started to demonstrate to me exactly what I was going to stand up here and preach to you about tonight. That when you start to spend time with him, when you spend time in his presence, when you crawl up on your Father's lap and wrap your arms around him and say, God, I love you. I just want to be here with you. I want to spend some time with you, Daddy. I need to be with you. He's going to wrap his arms around you, and that's where that joy starts to come from. When you start to put his word down into your heart so that when things start getting tough, instead of glorifying the situation, you glorify God. When you start to say, Lord, I need your strength. Lord, your word says this. Lord, your word says that. All of a sudden, that joy starts to build. And when that joy builds, it brings strength with it. They go together. You can't have the joy of the Lord and not get an infusion of strength. It's like going to the doctor and having him give you a shot. Only it doesn't hurt and it doesn't leave a mark. And at the end of the day, you've got better than any doctor can give you. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Let's see here. You know, the key to it is what Jesus said about abiding in him and him abiding in you. Because when he's living in there, you always have the joy of the Lord right there in your heart. But you know, so often we just want him to come by and visit. We don't necessarily want him to live. We don't want him to move in. We've got the little guest room here that he can come hang out in for a little while. But then when church is over and we're ready to go out in the world, we need him to move on. He's kind of getting in the way. When we let him live there, when we let him come in, move in, bring all his stuff, he can put pictures on the wall, whatever he wants to do. Let him come hang out. All of a sudden, the world changes. Your view of the world changes. The joy in your heart changes. Because that's where it comes from, is that relationship with him. If you look in Galatians, one of the things that we talk about a lot is the fruits of the Spirit. I want you to take a close look at this. It'll be up on the screen. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh, he talked about that already. He said, if you love me like I loved my Father, the next one's joy. So if you love me, the joy comes. And along with it comes long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against which there is no law. You see, when you have the Spirit in your heart, when Jesus is living in you, those are two of the fruits of the Spirit, is love and joy. It didn't say happiness. It didn't say you're always going to love everything that goes on in your life. But it said you'd have that joy, that supernatural spiritual joy down in your heart that lets you get through the stuff that you don't think you can get through. When your whole world crashes around you, when you find out you're not getting a house, when you find out you're losing a job, when you find out that somebody's sick or somebody's passed or anything that comes along, it's that joy that immediately steps up and says, we've got this. It's not going to be easy, but we'll get through it. Sometimes it's easy. Sometimes it's not. And that's the realities of life. I wish I could tell you that I had a nice little magic thing you could go read that would make everything easy, but I don't. That's not how life works. Amen. But I tell you what, Paul put it this way when he talked to the Thessalonians. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18, rejoice evermore. You know, I like that. It's just a two-word sentence, but it has so much impact. Rejoice evermore, always, constantly, consistently rejoice. Because you know what? No matter what's going on in your life, no matter your circumstances, as long as you've got Jesus, you have something to rejoice about. Always. And when you focus on what you have to rejoice about, all those problems start to get a little bit littler and you feel a little bit stronger. And then you keep doing it and you get stronger and stronger and stronger. And next thing you know, the devil doesn't want to mess with you because you're strong. And things don't go so well for him when he comes to mess with you. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Oh my. That goes back to what we were talking about earlier, that when you want that joy, you've got to spend time with the Father. You've got to spend time with him. Pray. Not just pray when you need something. Not just pray when you're up against something. I'm talking about praying just because you want to spend time with him. Praying just because you want to be in his presence. Praying just because that's what you want to spend your time doing. That's the most important thing in your life, is to have a little bit of time with the Lord. And then verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, in James it says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. It's that closeness that brings the joy of the Lord. It's that connection with the Father that brings the joy of the Lord. That's the thing that starts to change your life. It's having that relationship with him. And I'm going to close. We're going to go back to a scripture I preached out of, I don't know how long ago, I can never pronounce this very well either, Habakkuk, I believe it is. It's the last three verses of that book. It's chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. Verse 17 says, although the fig trees shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like when we talk to each other sometimes and we're telling about all our tale of woe and everything that's going wrong. Got no money. I don't feel good. I'm sick. It's kind of the same thing, isn't it? It's a little bit different terms, but the same thing. His whole world's falling apart. This is rough. Things aren't going well. They're in trouble. Because if you think about it, back then, that was their whole life. They didn't have a whole lot of jobs with money and stuff. They were working the herds and the fields, and nothing's coming. They're in trouble. So what does the prophet say about it? Look at verse 18. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Yes, didn't say I'm going to rejoice in the situation. It didn't say I'm happy about not having what I need. It said, no matter what, I don't care about any of that. Yet I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. Yes. Why? Because of verse 19. It says, the Lord God needs to give me different glasses. The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, because God's going to take care of it. Even though this looks awful, even though I don't have what I need, even though the world says we're going down, he's going to take care of it. Because I know that, I'm going to rejoice. So no matter what it looks like, it may look like you're failing. It may look like it's falling apart. It may look like you're dying. It may look like any number of things are going wrong. But it doesn't matter, because God's got control of it and God's going to take care of it. We may not like the way he takes care of it. He may not take care of it on our timeline, the way we want him to or how we'd like it, but he's going to take care of it better than we ever could. He's going to handle it in a way that when it all is said and done, we go, oh, that's what you were up to, God. Good job, Lord. You know, it's amazing how we feel the need to approve his work sometimes. Yeah, I'm happy with that, Lord. Good job. You've done well. No, I think we do that, though, because that's when we turn back and give him praise, is when we're happy. Yeah. We've got to start turning back and giving him praise when it's going on. Amen. That's when we start to build that joy, because when we start to focus on that and praise him, when we start to reach out to him and say, God, I don't have a clue what you're up to, Lord. I don't know what you're doing. I can't figure it out. I haven't got a clue. But I love you, and I trust you, and I know that you've got my back, Lord. When we start to look at it like that, you know, I think he sits up there and he goes, she gets it. Sister Sharon gets it. I think he turns to Jesus and says, hey, my children get it. Let's go take care of them. They've got it figured out. I really do. I think he looks around at that, and I think it pleases the Lord when we start to give him praise, even before he's quote-unquote earned it. Because so often we wait for him to earn it and make us happy, then we'll praise. We got to praise him for what he's doing that we don't even know about. We got to praise him for the fact that it could be a whole lot worse. We got to praise him for the fact that I could be going through this without my God. You know, I've been through some stuff without God a few times in my life, and it wasn't pretty. I don't ever want to do that again. But you know what? Praise God, we have the Lord. We have his courage. We have his strength. We have his joy. And because of that, we don't have to go through this alone. I was teasing somebody the other day. They said something about me eating alone. I said, I never eat alone. The Lord eats with me. He's always there. There are times in our life we kind of wish he wasn't, because, you know, usually we go and confess something to him, and he says, yeah, I know, I saw that. I was already there. I knew about that. But thank you for being honest. Because sometimes we think we're revealing some big secret to God when we go and we confess and we tell him something we've done, you know. Oh, Lord. First we want to make excuses for it. Well, you know, Lord, I know I did this, and I did it because, well, you saw what Sister Bertha better than you did, and I was just, you know, I was upset about that, and I was upset, and Lord, but I may have said a bad word, or I may have done whatever. I think he goes, yeah, I know. I was just waiting for you to come fess up. Because we're not keeping anything from him. He knows what's going on, and you know what? He knows the trouble that you're going through. He knows the problem you're going through. He knows every ache, every pain. He knows every missing penny. He knows every bill that you've got piled up. He knows every single thing that's going on in your life, and he cares about it. You know, if you talk to people from other religions, their quote-unquote gods don't have that character. Their God's waiting for them to mess up so that they can punish him. Our God is aware of every single thing. If you don't sleep well at night, he knows about it, and it bothers him because it bothers you. If you're having problems in your stomach or with your throat and you can't sing, God knows about it, and it bothers him, and he cares, and he's going to fix it. If you're having stress on your job, if people are doing things to you that you wish they wouldn't on your job, God's seeing that, and he's keeping track of it. I used to have a neighbor that said, well, the Lord keeps the books. But you know what he does, and he's a brilliant accountant. He knows exactly where everything lies, and he's gonna balance those books at some point. And when he does, they will be balanced in your favor. I promise you that. Because he's keeping track of every time you've been persecuted, every time you've struggled, every time that there's been something that you've had to go through for his name's sake. He's keeping track, and he's gonna recompense that to you in a mighty way. Whether it's here or in heaven or both, you're going to see the benefit of everything that you've had to go through. Because God didn't put you here to suffer. He said he'd never give you more than you could bear, and that he'd always provide a way of escape. I like that, because I've got situations in my life right now that I'm looking for the exit door. And I keep thinking, surely there's got to be one of them red exit signs somewhere. And then sometimes it's the wrong exit door you open, but that's another sermon all by itself too. Amen. So have you enjoyed being in God's presence tonight?
Thanks for joining us here at Souls Harbor Church. We hope you've enjoyed spending time with us and hearing the Word of God. We invite you to come and join us live for the service and be part of all that God is doing here at Souls Harbor. Be sure to check back each week for our latest sermons. In the meantime, be blessed in Jesus' name.